Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm. Or I got a text from Sam. What do you think that's about?
He's talking trash?
Sam? He's talking trash.
Oh, he's out. He's out of the inner circle. He's getting too comfortable. We let him get too comfortable, and this is what happens. This is why you don't trust these Midwesterners.
All they've done is break my heart. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever. Oh, this podcast is going to be good today. Wherever it is that you get podcasts from, we appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Beans Ferry.
That would be a little weird. That's, but I mean, if it's coffee beans.
If it was coffee beans, it would be.
Makes sense.
I got to text that kid back. Son of a. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner, whatever you're cooking out this weekend. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're looking for great weeknight ideas, beef is the answer. Easy to cook, nutritious, delicious, inexpensive. Beef is the best value for your weeknight dinners. Looking for recipes? Go to msbeef.org. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise you're looking for. Only 2 weeks away from Mother's Day, and just a little bit over a month after that, it's Father's Day. Get ready with a gift from College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. Best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. I could go for some Restaurant Tyler right now, I'll be totally honest with you. I could go for that right about the second. Not open for Sunday dinner. Otherwise, they might be seeing me right this second. But this week will probably be a Restaurant Tyler lunch kind of week for me, and it should be for you as well. It's the best blue plate in the state. It's at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers, you need them on your schedule, not anybody else's. You need a bank that provides a level of service that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. He texted me back. Just a ha-ha. Man, kid. You know, you try to be nice to these kids, and this is how they treat me, you know? I invite them into my home. They got no respect, these kids, these days. No respect whatsoever.
iPad generation. He's in the iPad generation at this point.
What's he saying now? What's he saying? Yeah. Now he's trying to, he's like, ah. Robbie, do you want me to just, how about this? We've done the intro here, right? Why don't I just stop here and I'll just put up a show from last Sunday or the Sunday before that or whatever, and we'll just see if anybody notices that we said Florida or LSU instead of Auburn. You want to do that?
Yeah, we could just do the same show.
It's the same show every Monday.
I told you, though, today I'm changing my entire persona.
Okay.
This entire show for me is going to be nothing but positivity. I'm done. I'm done with the negativity. I've been called out on the carpet by Mississippi State fans. I'm too negative.
Mm.
Has nothing to do with the fact that the baseball program has had three of the last 4 years been basically a complete disaster. It's all my fault. But yeah, I've been way too negative over Mississippi State sports over the last 3 years. Today, I'm going to give everybody a break of the negativity, and I'm going to find all the positives that came from this weekend and Sunday's game.
Well, go right ahead. Mississippi State drops 2 out of 3 to the Auburn Tigers. Dropping
at least
the
they got one. It could have been so much worse. They could have got swept, Brian. They could have lost the Saturday game. They could have given up the 9-run lead that they had. They had a 10-1 lead in that game, and it closed to, I think, 3 or 4 runs. Valiant effort there by Mississippi State, especially offensively. I thought they did a really good job late in that ball game to secure that win. So it could have been a lot worse. So I don't want to hear anything about Mississippi State taking a step back this weekend. They could have been swept in the series.
Okay, then. I see where you're coming from. I get what you're saying. I thought, coming out of Saturday's game, I thought maybe State had picked up a little momentum and, had a chance, because Carson Ligon the past few Sundays has been pretty good. But, Robbie, a really tough outing for Carson Ligon on Sunday, where he doesn't make it out of the second inning.
But think about how close he was to getting out of those first two innings relatively unscathed. If you just have 3 or 4 good defensive plays in 2 innings and essentially 5 outs, you had just 3 or 4. I mean, that's not asking for a whole lot. If you just field those ground balls and make those plays, he probably gives up 1 or 2 runs. So I thought other than that, other than the fact that he gave up 7 hits, 3 walks, and 8 runs in an inning in the third, I thought was a fairly well-pitched outing by him to start that game.
Going back to the Friday night game, State had the lead twice in that game, but end up, giving it away there and just not being able to get those shutdown innings you want to get when you take the lead. I thought Pico Khan, not his best outing of the season by any stretch of the imagination, and State's bats just didn't deliver when they needed to.
No, they didn't, but you're right there in position coming up to your final at bat. You were only down by 1 run and had a chance to make a play. You just got to tip your hat to Auburn. They made the pitches there in those late innings and were able to get out of that. But State, 5 runs. I mean, that's a pretty good Friday night, especially with the pitcher that they were facing. I thought Samuel Dutton was really good. He was one of those guys that is like the Butch Thompson special. It kind of reminded me of Chad Jurado a little bit. He tweaks a pitch here and there. The curveball he was throwing looked like Tim Wakefield's knuckle curve. It was like 68, 69 mile an hour curveball, was impossible to pick up, it seemed. And I thought he did a great job of keeping State out of those big innings. State worked the pitch count a little bit in the middle innings, and they were able to scratch across a couple of runs. But I just – and I'm being legitimate about this. I just thought that it was – a really good start from him, and Pico didn't have his best start, and that's kind of what happens there. But, 1-run game. I mean, what can you say? It's the SEC.
This is making me sick. I just want to let you know that.
You know what makes me sick, Brian?
Tell me.
You know what makes me sick?
What is it, friend?
When I tweet out a fact and I give no opinion in it,
yeah.
I don't say anything about, this is terrible, this is an awful job. I just tweet a stat. I just tweet what happens in a ball game. Mm-hmm. And I'm the problem. Yeah. I think you experienced this the other day with the very nice Ole Miss fans that you dealt with and your mentions, where you and I will just give a stat, and it, for whatever reason, drives certain people insane. It makes people angry to the point that we're the problem. We're the ones that need to be dealt with. I don't understand that. So,
well, clearly,
that's what makes me sick.
Clearly, it's the issue is not that we point out the mistakes or the facts. It's that the facts exist and we pointed them out.
Yes.
So that's what it is.
I think people are angry about the current situation with Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm. And they can take it out on us because we might respond. We're certainly reading it. Lamonis has said he's off Twitter. His account still exists, but he's not looking at it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Hail State baseball's not. I feel really bad for our guys, Logan and Daniel. They're just up there doing their job, and like they tweeted out the score was when it was like 8-2, like it's just an inning update, like middle of second, Auburn 8 or bottom of the second, 8-2, right? And the first response was just F you. But I didn't say
It
F,
was.
that the whole word. And I'm just like, poor cats, they're just up there doing their job.
The reason that I'm going overboard today on this is like there's nothing else
It's like I
that
said,
we
we're
could
doing the same
say. I
show.
mean,
We're doing the same show.
it's the same show. And it might be the bullpen one game, it might be the defense the next, it might be both. That's what it was today. It might be the offense. But it's the same. Every show is the same. Every conversation we have about Mississippi State baseball is the same.
It's like the next original conversation we have about this team is going to be when there's a coaching change. I feel like that's the case at this point. I just don't feel like, because, you know, if we're going to hold to the idea, I want to talk about something you said on the message board, though, because going back a few months, I talked about, I said, you know, is 13 really going to be enough? Is 13 going to be enough? Because State's strength of schedule is not great, and they don't have the quality wins. And you said on the message board today that you think it's going to take 14 because these Missouri wins that we're counting, by the way, we're counting those wins. We're
We're
counting
counting them
three
sweeping
wins.
them. That's the stretch.
Exactly. That's a stretch anyway, but we're counting those three wins, but those are not good enough wins. So you're of the belief now that it's going to take 14 wins to get in. That means you've got to win all three series and sweep one of them.
You have to win 7 of 9.
I mean,
Yeah, I think 14 and 16 would get you in.
it would
Like,
absolutely. There's never been a 14-win team left out.
and you and I both believe that Mississippi State's not going to get in the postseason, and we believe that coming into
This
this
weekend.
series.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think 14 and 16 is what you have to have. If you win 13, I still think you're going to have to win like 3 or 4 games. I don't even know if they'd get in, even if they make a run in the SEC tournament. Because I'm very vague. I think like I don't believe that the SEC tournament really means much for teams. Maybe if you need like one more win or something, but I just don't I don't think that the SEC tournament really moves the needle on postseason. And so I think it's just a straight up 13 wins in the SEC regular season or 14, whatever. I don't think State gets in with 13, even with a run of the SEC tournament. Because I thought last year
That's what I was going to
they got
say.
in the SEC tournament, they won 2 huge games.
Yeah, and it meant nothing.
Nothing happened.
So if you look at
So,
State last year, they won 17 regular season conference games, plus the Governor's Cup, which if you listen to Sports Talk Mississippi this week, Kendall Rogers said straight up, he's like, the committee views that as an SEC game. So there's 18. Then they won 2 games in the SEC tournament. They had 20 SEC wins and didn't host. So I agree with you 100%. The SEC tournament means nothing to the postseason.
And so that's where I'm at. I think 14 wins is, so take the postseason thing out of your mind if you're a State fan. If they get into postseason, just be pleasantly surprised at this point, because at 7 and 14 right now, it's just hard to imagine them getting there. And it's going to take a tremendous effort against Ole Miss and Kentucky. Those are two really good teams. Kentucky's kind of getting back in the fight here. Ole Miss just won 2 out of 3 against Vandy and looked really good in their first 2 games. So they're kind of figuring out their starting pitching and relief pitching and all that, and their offense is good. So expecting Mississippi State to just come into those weekends and win those games the way they're playing is hard to believe.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that. So we will.
So from the realistic standpoint, not the negative standpoint, because it took every ounce of my being not to just call it what it was in the first 10 minutes of the show. Mississippi State doesn't do anything well. Like they don't do anything well, pitching, defense, offense. They just don't. They hit home runs, I guess, but the home runs are solo shots. They hit 3 solo homers. They hit 2 or 3 on Saturday as well. They don't have like these big innings. Auburn had 3 big innings in this game. They scored 6 runs in the second inning, They scored three in the fourth, and they scored three in the eighth. And then they had the two runs in the first. They were 10 of 20 with runners on base. State was 4 of 13, I believe. Auburn was really good situationally in this game. State just had like a run in just about every inning. They had a run in six innings. And eight runs in most outings gives you an opportunity.
Yeah.
But in a game like this, State had to have the bigger innings.
It was kind of like the last game against LSU, where they lost like 17-8. And it was the same thing. Ligon went out and just got absolutely shelled in the first couple of innings. And then, you know, you climb your way back into it, but not really. And
look, I mean, it's hard to blame the offense for this. I mean, eight runs, they had nine hits, I think, walked five times. I mean, the offense was fine. I thought the offense was fine all weekend. They scored five runs on Friday, which on a Friday night is good. They scored 12 runs on Saturday. Over 20 runs in a three-game series, I can't really be upset about that. State's bullpen is a problem right now. They just don't have a lot of quality arms, or at least a lot of quality performances. And the defense, I mean,
you make a decision to bring Dylan Cup back into the starting lineup and he has an error. That is a very 2025 Mississippi State baseball kind of situation there.
And really 2022 through 25.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
We've talked about this so many times, like those first three Lamonas teams, every move they made seemed to work.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, that's what sucks is like, you finally got your middle infield settled. And we want to clarify that it appears Gatlin Sanders wasn't available, according to Neil Price on the radio, that he woke up this morning and he was ill. So they didn't have a choice. They couldn't put Gatlin out there. But you put Dylan Cup in there, and, man, if the game didn't find him play after play. And it's, you know, it's tough. I mean, Sawyer Reeves has looked like a much better shortstop than he was second baseman. And Cup has had issues at short, but I think he is a much more comfortable shortstop than he is a second baseman. I think that's fair to say. Sawyer has been more consistent and a better shortstop than Cup was. But I think there's no question that Cup is not a great second baseman.
Right.
And we saw that. He just did not look comfortable out there. And every ball that was hit his way was a problem. It was just a problem. And then at the plate, he had a couple of bad at-bats. It just, like, it sucks for the kid, but that's just kind of how things are working for Mississippi State. Every move, it seems like, Chris Lamonis makes now, it doesn't work. And it kind of the same thing for Justin Parker at this stage. So it's just it's a mess, man. Like, this team should be so much better than it is, and it's really frustrating. They're 7-14 in the SEC. I mean, you're probably going to have you should have a better season than you did those other two seasons in 22 and 23, but it's just a continuation of those years. I mean, it's the same stuff.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So,
Robbie, this pitching staff now is bottom half of the league in SEC play. This was a top five pitching staff in the league most of the season to this point. The last 2 weeks has dropped them down to 11th or 12th in the league in ERA. Their own run average is closing in on 7 in SEC play. So it's just been bad.
Yeah. Well, much like the team, Robbie and I will play out the string, and we'll continue to talk about it until we get to the end. Mississippi State, no midweek this week, right?
No, they play Memphis.
They have Memphis this week. So I don't understand. I never understand these late midweek games. You should be done with midweek at this point, but whatever.
Well, I think this is the last one.
No, there's one more. They play North Alabama.
That's right. What's the point of that?
Well, you know, last year I had an issue with it. This year I'm just like, whatever. Who cares? Maybe it's a game that keeps you over 500. I don't know. Super Bulldog weekend this weekend, Robbie.
Yes. Derby. Starkville Derby.
Derby. Got big softball series.
The Starkville Derby that I was excluded from, as we've seen.
Yeah.
Brian has been tasked with, he gets to do voiceovers, he gets to get on the call. He was given a some kind of trophy of a wiener dog. And here I am, friend of Alden Thornhill for much longer than you.
Yeah.
And I'm just getting kicked to the curb.
The way I see it, you know, if we're going to put it in terms that maybe you'd be familiar with, is I'm a little more Shawn Michaels, and you're a little more Marty Jannetty.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that you could get a foot up to my chin. I would have to get on the ground.
I could absolutely super kick you.
No, you couldn't.
Absolutely deliver it.
You could shin kick
chin
me.
Music. I could
you could shin kick me. You could be the startable shin kicker.
No. And I will, you know, if we had a window here at the studio, I'd put you through it.
Couldn't do it.
There's something wrong with Thunder and Lightning.
I'm expecting
I don't think
it.
So.
See, I expect that. You could never put one over on me like that.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
But yeah, that's just how I feel. I mean, I feel like I was kind of kicked to the curb here. But nonetheless, as always, I will be there to support this great event that's coming to downtown Starkville. Whether or not I'm welcome there, I don't know, but I will be there to support.
You realize I had nothing to do with these decisions, by the way. So I'm going to point that out. I had nothing to do with it. I am just.
Are you just throwing Alden under the bus here?
I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. I'm just saying I'm taking myself from under the bus. I want no part of the bus.
Okay.
All right, though. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Kine District, which is where I will be on Saturday as I'm calling the action there at the Starkville Derby. And one of my first questions to Alden when he asked me, I was like, is there going to be food? He's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, there'll be food. So, fantastic. And then my daughter, Aislinn, first question she had, we're going to be at Two Brothers? Is there going to be food? It's like, yeah, there is. So, it's a Hey Dad family thing. We love the food at Two Brothers, and your family will love it too. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend for Super Bowl Dog, you've got to head over to Two Brothers or the older brother right there in the Cotton District. Great products, great. Here we go. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
I've been getting screwed for 50 years by Brian Haydad and Alden Thornhill.
You're not even 50 years old.
Yeah, but it feels like it.
No, let me tell you something, son. You don't want to feel like that. I promise.
When you it's need coming.
The other option isn't as good, I promise, yeah.
I'm less than halfway there.
Yeah. Brother, I'm down to months. I figured out what I want to do for my 50th. I want you to come with us. I want to go down to sacred ground in Pocahontas.
Oh, yes. We talked about that.
Yeah, let's do that for my 50th.
Okay, I'm down.
All right, we're going to make that happen. Go. All right. And if we need a copier on the way, we'll stop at Advantage Business Systems. I don't know why we need that, but if we did, we could get one. And then if something went wrong, we could just call Advantage Business. By the way, you didn't say it, did you? Are you counting that as saying it?
Yeah, because I just don't have any energy in my heart.
All right. If you need technology for your business, if you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, you need to call Advantage Business System, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Next time you're here in Starkville, if you're going to be here for Super Bowl Dog Weekend, make sure you're making a trip to Maroon & Co. They have all the MSU gear you want, the biggest and best selection of it in the city of Starkville. They've got everything you're looking for, maroon and white, under one roof. And they got our promo code to help you save a little money. You can use it in the store or you can use it online at maroonandco.com. That promo code is THUNDER15. You'll save 15% on regular price. Some exclusions will apply. Next time you're here in Starkville, make sure you're headed to Maroon & Co. All right, some more players are headed to Starkville. Let's start with basketball, Robbie, and Mississippi State dipping back into the portal for the guard they absolutely had to have. Jaden Epps is the name, formerly of Illinois and then Georgetown, a scoring guard, a true combo guard, a guy who can play with Hubbard, a guy who can run the point, a guy who can play at the two. This was a huge need for Mississippi State, and they filled it with what appears on paper to be a very, very good option.
Yeah, you were looking for a guy that you could pair there with Hubbard that could score, and I thought this was a great pickup for him. When you look at what he's done in college to this point, He's been really good. 2 years ago was his best season. With what he was able to do as a sophomore, when you look at it, 18.5 points a game for Georgetown, and 35 minutes a game, 76% from the line, 31% from three, 4 assists. If you get that, you're really cooking with he and Hubbard. But if you get what he did last year, you're in good shape too. 12.8 points a game, almost 13 points a game. He's going to be about a 75, 76% free throw shooter, so he's going to get you points from the free throw line. That was his best three-point shooting year last year, 34%. So I really like this pickup. I think it's one of the best available guys that you could get for that position. And pairing him with Josh Hubbard as a scoring guard is really what you were looking for. State didn't really have that last year. Look at the guards they had, you know, Claudel Harris was kind of – a guy that could hit a big shot every now and then, but he didn't really produce a whole lot of consistency.
Right.
And then
also not a guy you want to bring the ball up the court.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, this guy has consistently done it. There are no issues that we're sitting here going red flag, red flag. Like we have with some other guys that have come through here. It just, to me, appears like a really good fit. And defensively, I think he's going to be able to help you as well. He averaged almost a steal and a half a game last year. So I think State got a lot better at the guard position. You're essentially done here at the guard and wing spots, it looks like. I guess you could add a couple more guys at best available positions. But I really like what they have here with Jaden Epps. I think he pairs – extremely well with Josh Hubbard, and it gives you a nice little 1-2 punch there.
And then when you talk about, you know, what State needs now, they probably need to get another backup four with the loss of Sam Walters. And then we found out this weekend that the saga of Chole Machoy, or however you want to pronounce it, I don't have to learn it now. He will not be attending Mississippi State. He is decommitted late in the process here. So State could find another guy as well. Probably feels like they want to get another four, and then it's just the best available guy, right? If they can find a good guard, but if they find another big man, whatever they want to do, they have some flexibility. I saw a post on your board that I really liked that, and I'm sorry, I can't credit. I don't remember who said it, but they've kind of showed what State's roster looks like and said, look, here's what your starting lineup probably is, right? It's probably Epps, Hubbard, what's his name? Amin? What's the name?
Ali. Amir Ali.
And Ballard, right? That's probably your starting five. But State has some options where if they want to go big, they can. But if they also want to go small, they can go three guards with Hubbard, Epps, and McGee with Achor and Ballard. They have a lot of flexibility within this lineup, it looks like.
Yeah, and the lineup the roster as it stands, looks really good on paper. But the problem that you have is you don't want to just ride with what you have. Because we have no idea if T. Bartlett's going to be ready. We have no idea if King Grace is going to be ready. Is Delquan Warren going to be able to make that jump?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of questions there. So the best thing you can do right here is continue to add talent. Add the best talent that you can possibly add and let the chips fall. Because, you know, last year, you know, what happens in the post if Keyshawn Murphy doesn't make that jump, or if you know, you look at the center position, what if Michael Nwoku wouldn't have been productive? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at a devastating year for State last year. So it's that there's still some moving parts. I think that you can say definitively right now that Chris Jans has gotten this thing off to a great start. Mm-hmm. When considering what he lost, which, you know, like it or not, he lost a ton of production with Keyshawn Murphy and, you know, Riley Kugel, just from a point standpoint and production standpoint, Michael Nwoku, you feel like you can be even better at the spots that you've lost, but there's still a lot of proving to be done here for Mississippi State. So, where are they at right now, scholarship wise? 12?
I think they have room for two more guys.
So they're at 13.
Yeah.
Because Eric Kamen was essentially process, it appears.
Yeah, he's in the pool.
And then Chole Mayshot or Maycott, whatever.
Doesn't matter.
That we know that Mississippi State's looking to add more guys because I think they would have taken him mm-hmm. if not. I think they just would have stuck with him and gone with that. So they're still very actively recruiting those positions. So I'm really interested to see how this closes out and where they want to go with their picks.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's no question you want to go get a four that can come in and back up a chore, and probably going to be a guy that I would imagine is a stretch guy. That's what they've recruited since Keyshawn Murphy left. They have not really recruited any power forwards that I can remember that were true post players. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But the two guys they got were two stretch fours.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what Chris Jans is looking for in that position now, especially he's going to want a rebounder, I think. That's one of the main reasons he was going after a chore guy that could rebound and stretch the floor. He did not like how last season went from a three-point shooting and three-point guarding perspective. And they're rebounding, and he wanted to get better. And I think they've gotten guys that can defend. They've gotten guys that can shoot. And they've gotten guys that can rebound. You look at Quincy Ballard and chore. So I would imagine he's going to follow that path again here. That's the really interesting thing is we were talking about, you know, how to attack the portal. And essentially, like, the first thing I said was I think you got to go – back to the basics and get defensive guys. And you and I both said they need some kind of in between of what we've seen in the first 2 years and what we saw last year.
Mm-hmm.
Can you recruit players that are competent defensively, but also elevate you offensively? And I think that's what he's done so far. So a couple more pieces to be had, but this is already a top 15 portal class. It looks like easily Chris Jans' best. He's got four stars in it.
Mm-hmm. And they haven't ranked McGee yet.
Yeah. So I like what he's doing. We'll see what else they want to do here. I mean, I'm trying to think what that other spot of you got a power forward.
You
got
to get another four. You got to get another four.
And then best available guard.
Best available is what I would. Yeah. Whatever if you take somebody who you feel elevates your team, that's good. That's all you need to look for at that point.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what position they play.
And if that's a guy like
somebody who can play 2 through 4, basically.
And if that's a guy like Sean Jones, that's just going to be like really tough and physical.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Even if he's not a guy that is going to be a 35% 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
Like that last spot, if it's a dude that just comes out and just get in your grill and be like a Rams Davis type.
That's something a lot of fans miss sometimes is that 1 through 9 on your rotation with your 10, you don't get to have 10 superstars. Right? Somebody, you got to have some role players in there. Sean Jones is a great role player for Mississippi State. If you could find another guy like that and Jones, if Jones and a guy like Sean Jones are your 9th and 10th players, your role players, that's the nucleus of a really good team. So just a couple more pieces to get. We'll see how it all finishes up for Jans. On the football side of things, State goes back into the portal. We got to give Phil Loadholt some credit here. And what I mean by that is this. Because he's having some success recruiting. But this is a guy who came in and on day one was basically like, we're not good enough. And I don't care whose feelings I hurt. I don't care what I have to do. I am going to do whatever I have to do to get better. And if that means people have got to go, well, then they just got to go. And he's brought a couple of guys in. He's brought in Blake Steen. And now on Sunday, this one came together pretty quickly, Robbie. Mississippi State adds UTEP center Brennan Smith out of the portal. That was basically, from what I can tell in the last 48 hours, it was offer, visit, commitment. And it all came together pretty quickly. State looking to replace Ethan Miner. Carson Lee was a guy that we thought could have an inside track to that. He hits the portal. And now you see why. Mississippi State obviously wasn't happy with its options at the center position, and they go out and bring in a guy who's played a lot of football over the past couple of years.
I love this mentality by Jeff Lebby and Phil Loadholt. Like, it's they said it. Oh, we didn't even talk Loadholt, but Lamonis. Lebby said it in the first meeting that we had with him this spring.
He absolutely
did not like the look of the offensive line and immediately said, we're going to have to go to the portal and get it. And that's exactly what they're doing. And they've missed on a couple of guys that they really wanted, but it hadn't stopped them from swinging for the fences. And I think one thing that you have to consider is I look at the spring portal, and there's some good options out there, but this isn't going to be a portal that's going to give you a ton of all-conference players. This is – I've said it. Like, this is the time where you get guys that help you fill some of your needs, build depth. But I do think that the two guys they just picked up, especially, and Blake Steen and Brennan Smith, are going to compete for starting positions. And that's a big deal if you're Mississippi State. That makes you look like a totally different team than what we just saw in the spring. Mm-hmm. If you're bringing in two players that are going to compete and potentially win those jobs, that changes a few things for State. And that's what the portal is all about. If you have the opportunity to go out there and make your roster better, go do it. Mm-hmm. Don't just be content with what you have. And Jeff Levy wasn't.
Been saying it for years. Like, going back to like when Will Rogers was here, I was like, if you can get better players, just get better players.
Go do it.
Competition makes everybody better. You should never, there should never be the thought process of, well, they have an established starter there. So, no, nobody is an established, but you're on a 2-10 team. Like, if you're coming off 10-2 and you want to say, hey, that's our guy, okay, I can live with that. You're 2-10. Nobody's safe at 2-10. So,
and just because
this is like, it has to be, if players, especially if players are going to get paid, we're paying these guys, it is business. It is not personal, and you got to do what you got to do.
Well, and they can leave high and dry whenever
exactly.
they want to.
Yeah.
So, and people a lot of times compare it to the coaches leaving. Coaches have contracts,
yeah.
And there's repercussions for whenever you break that contract and you go somewhere else. Somebody's got to pay for that. Mm-hmm. Essentially, we're seeing the wheels turn and that change a little bit where these players are not fulfilling their contracts. But there is nothing in place that keeps these players where they're at. And on a dime, they're going to other schools. So there is no loyalty anymore. There's no reason for coaches to be completely loyal to players either, even if they're giving it their all or practicing hard. I mean, I hate that, but like, if you're not good enough, you need to go find somebody that is. Because at the end of the day, it's Jeff Lebby and it's Phil Lodeholtz's job to win ball games at Mississippi State. And 2-10 with the money that's being spent on Jeff Lebby and his staff and on the roster now, because State is spending millions on this roster, you can't have another 2-10 season. And he knows that. The most glaring issue they had in the spring, really on either side of the ball, was offensive line. Mm-hmm. The offensive line was not good enough.
Yeah.
And Lebby saw that. And for that offense to do what it wants to do, they have to be able to protect. They have to be able to move some people around to run the football. They've built a solid running back core. There's numbers at receiver. We'll see if it really comes to fruition. Tight end got better in the spring portal. You got to be better up front. They got to really sew up their issues there. And now they have real competition at every position. So that's what you're looking for. I would say they need one more offensive lineman. So we'll see how that pans out. But so far, so good for Phil Lodeholt. He's swung big, and he got, I thought, two really good linemen. I mean, this kid, he had an offer from South Carolina, too.
Yeah.
Shortly after entering, he didn't get a chance to really go through any visits or anything like that. So
he did the thing that we've been talking about for quite a while for Mississippi State, just has not been able to do, and that's offer, visit, done.
Done.
Like, it's just been so many, like, all right, they're going to take other visits, and State has to sweat, and it's just never easy. This one was easy. So shout out to Phil Lodeholt, making it easy. We appreciate
you. Big Phil. Uncle Phil.
He's invited to the cookout. Anytime he wants to come.
He
needs to let me know. He needs to let me know if he's coming. He can't just show up, because I got to have extra food if Phil shows up.
He would love the cookout.
Oh, he'd love the cookout. He'd be all over it.
Yeah. Lebby would too, but I think Lebby is guarded when it comes to media.
I want to know.
I just get that sense. I think
I want to get a couple beers in Lebby and get him talking. Just I want to find out what he's – I have no idea what Lebby is actually like.
He's very good at the poker face.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't like play cards with him, nah.
We never see, like – we never really see him, like, super emotional.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of straight-laced. He says the same things at the press conferences.
Speaking of the cookout, I had an idea for the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, got another idea. You know those little peppers I make with the I put the sausage and the cream cheese in them,
The
wrap them up.
stuffed peppers?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Stuffed pepper, but stuffed with buffalo chicken dip, and then wrapped in bacon.
I
And
mean,
then
that's genius.
we're doing that.
Genius.
We're doing that next time we have the cookout. All right.
Fine.
I'm going to invite Alden, but not you.
Why would you do that? Why are you doing this to me?
Want to do this podcast later. Now you see what happens.
See, I'm just tweeting facts, and people are wanting to bludgeon me,
Yeah.
and you're wanting to kick me out of the
Why do you
cookout.
fall? Fake
Just
news
my,
media, making up things,
it's
hurtful
just my
things about
face.
people.
My face, what I say, it just angers people.
I think you have a handsome face.
There's a lot of people that don't believe that.
Well, they're wrong. All right. Tomorrow's show, we got the last two SEC spring previews. I did those last week, but we didn't have a chance to put them up. But we got Texas and Vanderbilt. We'll throw those out in the next couple of days. We'll continue to monitor the portal, see what's going on there. Robbie, next week, not this week, not this week, next week, I got to double check that. I'm pretty sure I'm right. Next week will be our first SEC preview.
You got to run the numbers. You got
I
to.
believe we're 16 weeks from kickoff, starting on, I guess that would be Monday the 5th. Is that right? Yeah, Monday the 5th. 16 weeks to kickoff. That's hard to
Man.
believe, but we're getting there. We're getting there. All right,
I'm
guys.
getting excited again. We just sat through a miserable 2-10 season. We sat through a season before that where they
Don't
won
care.
five games.
I don't care. It's
But
football.
somehow I'm building up excitement again to
We're gonna
watch
do it.
football.
We're gonna do it. All right, talk to you guys later. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.